Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, a.k.a. the Jarritos Kid, a.k.a. El Rey del Mineragua, a.k.a. the Mandarina Duck, a.k.a. Sandia Koufax, a.k.a. Tamarindo Supremo, a.k.a. Mr. Jamaica 2020, a.k.a. the Fresa Prince of Bel Air, a.k.a. Tutti Frutti Gigante.
Sounds like somebody got a value pack of Jarritos.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how much I like Jarritos. Oh, yeah, so I decided to write a list of names about Jarritos. Jarritos go on Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah, I mean, Jarritos go on Jordan Jesse Go. Topo Chico go on Cumtown.
What's your top Jarritos?
I mean, since I kicked soda a couple years ago, you know, like the occasional drink of soda is painfully sweet to me. I just kind of lost the taste for it. So, you know, like, you know, once in a while I'll, you know, have a sip of Coke with a slice of pizza or at the movies or something. But in general, the you know, your average soda sweetness is too intense for me. Back in the day, Mandarin all the way, big Mandarin guy. Mm-hmm. But now I think it's just the standard Mineragua.
I happen to be enjoying a Mineragua right now, and that's my regular go to day to day. But if I happen to be out and about. Like, let's say I'm at the restaurant down on the corner from my house, La Beja, and there is Tutti Frutti available. Tutti Frutti is my number one. It is sickeningly sweet, but I feel like the big bubbles somehow cut the sweetness in a way that I love. And I love it with a spicy food.
Do you say oh Rudy ever?
Yeah, I say oh Rudy, oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, that's good. That closes the loop then.
You know, our guest on this week's program is a bit of a food and drinking expert himself. He is one of the hosts of the smash hit podcast The Doughboys, which, if you haven't heard it, is a little bit like Jordan Jesse Go if Jordan Jesse Go had a premise and people liked it. He is also a gifted actor, a longtime member of the comedy group The Birthday Boys. Please welcome to the program, Mr. Michael Mitchell. Hi, Mike.
Oh, wow. That was the nicest intro. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here. And also, this is a legend. This is one of the most legendary podcasts of all time, and I'm an honored to be here anytime I come on.
That's true. I guess that's why we got that Kennedy Center honor, right?
Yeah.
Is that why?
No, it's because Chappelle said he wasn't going to show up.
Oh.
But I think it's still worth taking. We also got a Thurber. We got one of those Thurber prizes.
Oh, have you been holding out on me? Send me my Thurber, dude. Is it at your house?
Yeah, what happened is they wanted to give it to Sedaris, but Sedaris was busy cleaning up garbage on the side of the road in the small town in England that he lives in.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And so they said, well, what about the second greatest humorists in America, Jordan Jesse Go?
Well, that's nice. I'm glad we're always there when someone more famous cancels.
Yeah.
Hey, are you ready for me to win you another one right now?
Oh,
Yeah.
I can't have enough Thurbers in here. Get us another one, baby.
Jarritos go to the polls.
Right. Yes. We're tired of Pokemon going to the polls. It's time for Jarritos to go there.
Jordan, can I tell you one other award we won? We won a Cable Ace Award, but it's because Brian Benben from Dream On's wife was in labor. Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, our show was a good source of cable TV nudity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question.
Please.
Yeah.
Is there a podcast version of the Razzies? You know what I mean? Like a
right.
And I'm gonna throw this out there as maybe the name for it. The Waxies.
Okay, I'm maybe not quite following it. Why is it called the Waxies?
I like that you said it with such conviction.
Oh, I thought maybe you were recording Doughboys on vinyl. and maybe we're under the impression that all podcasts were pressed onto wax, but yeah, okay. So yeah, so if there's a podcast Razzies, the Waxies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, there's a lot of kinks that need to be worked out. I'm spitballing here.
No, I mean, and that's what they say. No bad ideas in brainstorming, no bad ideas on Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah. No good ideas on Jordan Jesse Go. Also.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's another thing.
No ideas.
That's fair.
Mitch, speaking of movies, but rather good ones, wanted to tell you how impressed I was with a practice that you have, a quarantine practice that you have that I find very amiable. We're on a text chain where we're texting about what movies we're watching, and for the past couple weeks, Mike Mitchell has been all fucking stone cold classics. If you're out there watching junk, you're certainly not reporting it back to us. Maybe you're like secretly watching Fast and Furious movies or something and just not telling everybody. But with you, it's been all classics. And I want to know what put you on that kick and what have you discovered that's been good?
Well, okay. So I started doing this for an embarrassing reason, which is that I haven't seen a lot of classics. Like, coming out to Los Angeles, I feel like you guys could maybe relate, or getting into the comedy scene, you guys could relate to this of like, oh, I'm so interested in comedy, I would eat everything up, read everything. I mean, not actual comedy food that was created. I wasn't ordering like Blues Brothers bars or anything.
Right. You only ate banana peels and rubber chicken.
I was consuming every bit of comedy,
right? Yes,
and I was like really studying it, and I also like loved movies when I was in film school, and I would watch movies and like really explore new ones. And then when I got out here and started working in comedy, I was just like, I just kind of stopped doing that. And I still love movies, but there's so many that I haven't seen, and I have tons of blind spots to some great films. So I decided with quarantine that I was gonna knock out some of these stone cold classics, the ones that are 3 hours plus. You know what I mean? I'm trying to do all of them, and I still have a long ways to go. But you know, Strangers on a Train. I watched Rope this week. Last Temptation of Christ. Ed Wood, which is a newer one I had never seen.
Oh, you've never seen Ed Wood, huh?
I'd never seen Ed Wood. See,
that's,
like it's
that's this... one of my all time faves. That's what a cool.
I've never seen Ed Wood.
Really?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's on my list.
Jesse, you've never seen Ed Wood? Jeez.
No, I've seen Strangers on a Train.
No, see, the issue with this list is that I like feel like a goon for not having seen a lot of the. I mean, like Ed Wood is just one of many that I haven't seen, and I would never judge anyone for not seeing any of these. But Eraserhead, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, I watched. Unforgiven, Hardcore, a bunch of them. I watched tons of these movies.
Part of the reason why I find this so impressive is that, you know, and I think this is something everybody can relate to, like, you know, the world being like it is, everyone to a certain extent, we're all kind of like, you know, teetering on an emotional ledge all the time. And I think some part of the reason why I sometimes am afraid to, you know, switch on a classic is that they can be challenging, and I'm just worried that a movie is going to challenge me in a way that will upset my delicate balance.
I almost had an existential crisis watching Palm Springs the other day.
Wow.
That's a lighthearted romantic comedy.
Right. That's got some shit in there, though.
Yeah, it does have some shit in there. Oh, that was a good movie. I enjoyed that movie.
The Paul Schrader movies are definitely like ones where I'm like, this is tough to watch right now, and I maybe shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, you're just like, tomorrow I'm watching The Sting.
But it's been great, and I like a lot of the times I'm afraid a movie will be homework.
Yeah.
And then I get going on it, and I'm like, that wasn't homework at all. It was a blast.
I definitely did. I, like you, had not seen Eraserhead until this year, and I will put on Eraserhead the other day, and definitely was like, well, that was a mistake. Now I think that death is the only release. Oh, that's the ultimate escape is death. Oh, Look at that. And there's a woman who lives in the radiator, I think. Anyway.
I thought it was kind of funny, but I don't know if maybe like the little baby puppet really just got me for whatever reason. But I was, let me tell you, Jordan, I had a grin from ear to ear. I was really just enjoying just myself.
Yucking it up during Eraserhead, huh?
Jordan, I got to tell you this. If you die, you might get a sweet release, but you won't get to watch The Sting tomorrow.
That's true. I won't get to enjoy someone building a fake casino.
I've never seen The Sting, so for all I know, it could be a B related movie. It could be like B movie, Seinfeld's B movie.
Yes, the B movie is actually a remake of The Sting.
That's what it, B movie. Did I call it B movie or no?
You call it B movie. You're,
all right. Phew.
This is all tracked perfectly.
Sorry, yeah. Mr. Seinfeld.
Mike, great news. First of all, thanks for showing him the respect he deserves. I call him Gerald for the same reason. We're not familiar with each other. Mike, while you're on this kick of watching all these classic movies, treat yourself to The Sting. Have a nice little palate cleanser. That's one of the most delightful movies ever made. And it's a classic movie, but it's a classic movie where nothing upsetting happens the whole time.
Going right on my list right now.
Unless you find Confidence Men to be upsetting in principle.
You know what? I kind of do.
You don't want to be tricked. I don't want to be tricked. Do you like being tricked, Jesse?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't like being tricked. So. But that's a reason to hate magicians, not Confidence Men.
I said Mandarin Orange, right? Is the best Doritos. I gotta say that again in case I didn't say.
Oh, yeah,
thank you,
sure.
Mike.
We do, yeah.
I mean, it is a great. It's the best of all orange sodas, I would say. And I like orange sodas. I like really sweet sodas. I like grape soda too. I can only drink about half a can before my teeth start to fall out. But I like those super sweet fruity sodas.
So you're saying Squirt, Cactus Cooler, that area?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, Squirt's got a little kick to it, though.
Mm.
I'm talking about like a Fanta.
Okay, yeah.
I had a childhood friend, shout out to Court Gaspar, who called diarrhea Hershey Squirts.
Oh, God.
And for that reason, I have never been able to enjoy the soda Squirt, because Hershey's Squirt is lodged in my brain so thoroughly.
Wow.
Oh, man. Jordan, I have basically the exact opposite experience. My childhood best friend, Peter Frauenfelder, who you've met before. He was a guest on Jordan Jesse Go, Pete Fields.
I think I don't really remember because I had diarrhea, but...
My friend Pete, at his house on Elsie Street in Bernal Heights, he always had a 12-pack of Squirt in the refrigerator. And no one else in my life had soda in the fridge. But his dad just loved Squirt. His dad, Mark. And so there was always Squirt in there. And he would like hand me a Squirt when I came over to like slake my thirst from having climbed up the very tall hill that he lived on. And I like to this day, I see a Squirt and I'm flooded with fond nostalgic feelings for my childhood. Like it is a pure... Proust's Madeline for me.
Man,
wow.
I'm sorry I told that diarrhea story then. Jeez, man. I hope I didn't fuck this up for you.
Well, I mean, my childhood was pretty shitty overall.
I was going to say this, is that Squirt has like no... There's no chocolate syrup or anything in it that would make you feel... It's the opposite. I mean, if it had been a piss story or something, this would be more, like more damning. But if you just open a Squirt and you pour it into a glass, Jordan, you'll see that this is nothing to worry about. You gotta try a Squirt.
You know what? It's time. It's time that I stopped living in the past. It's time that I stopped, you know, obsessing over my childhood traumas. It's time for your boy to have himself a Squirt. I'm going to do it, guys. I'm going to have me a Squirt.
I love it.
Why don't you just work to associate it? It's like hypnotists can't take away a habit without introducing a substitute, mm-hmm. you know? Like you quit smoking, but then you always have a toothpick in your mouth or whatever.
Right. Mm.
Introduce a positive association. mean, the one that comes to mind for me is semen, but just something that you feel good about.
So wait, so I should stop thinking of squirt as diarrhea and as a kind of a sweet drinkable cum?
Yeah, like a seminal, refresher.
Sure.
I agree with this. That's actually what I've done in my head.
Good job, Mike. So we're on the same page about that.
Throw in a little tequila, you got yourself a cummy summer cocktail.
The squirt and cactus cooler and the bottled Coca-Cola to me are such a taco, like if you're at a taco stand, that's the beverages that will be on that the list for possible beverages. Those are some big three ones. And of course, you can get a Jamaica and you can get a horchata. I'm talking canned or bottled.
But I have to say this, a big part of my emotional energy, I would say upwards of 1% in 2020, is dedicated to seeing the explosion of Topo Chico, the huge popularity, including English language advertising for Jarritos.
Yeah.
And the near total absence of Peñafiel. I feel so bad for Peñafiel these days.
I don't think I know who that is.
Peñafiel is like a Jarritos analog, but it's mineral water based.
Okay, I thought it was a guy.
No, it's like a lighter, refreshing.
It's a lighter, refreshing Topo Chico?
No. There's a flavorless one that's equivalent to Topo Chico. Like a mineral water, and a much more mineral water than like the Jarritos mineral water, which doesn't really have much non water taste. And then it also has fruity soda drinks, but they also have a little bit of mineraliness to them. They're very nice, very nice drinks. They don't come in as good of bottles, though, I will say. They come in pretty regular plastic bottles.
I think that is something that has been left behind in the seltzer craze is minerals. I think that we now think of a sparkling water as a non-mineraled beverage, but I love the mineraliness of those. Give me more minerals.
You know what? I get really mad at Perrier for tasting too much like dirt.
Okay. That has too many minerals, you think?
For me.
You know, I agree. There is some of these minerally drink. Like I drank not Perrier, but LaCroix. When I have a LaCroix, I think that makes me, I've said this before, but it makes me more thirsty. It dries me out.
Wow.
Do I sound like a crazy person?
No, not at all. I totally get that. I have to like, because you know, like the bottle or the can of the sparkling water or the mineral water, like it looks so appealing. Like you look at that and you're like, that's going to fucking kick my thirst right in the dick. And then, but I do have to stop and tell myself, I'm like, wait, drink a little bit of regular water first and then enjoy that. Because I also agree that I don't think it makes me less thirsty.
But that's the issue, is like a nice hot, like a hot summer's day, not a nice hot summer's day, but a hot summer's day. I'm reaching for a LaCroix and it's not doing the job. You know what I mean? It doesn't do it.
Nope.
And Topo Chico, I think, does. Less minerals.
That's just so interesting. I would
Topo Chico is more mineral.
I would guess it would be more mineral. Listen, I'm not a mineral expert, okay? I'm not a geologist over here.
Sure.
You know what I want? I want to buy a Topo Chico one day and just see a solid rock sitting in that bottle.
Yeah. What's that, shale?
Right.
They'll say.
If you superheat it, you could get yourself a diamond.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible, Mike, that you're not having problems with drying out? You're having problems with mineral deficiencies?
It's very possible. I could be having some mineral deficiencies. I eat trash constantly, and I'm not sure, you know, if I probably need some supplements here and there. But if you know me, Jesse, you nailed it. I'd definitely say, is that shale? If I saw it in the...
He said, what's that, shale?
Sounds like something Letterman would say to Paul Schaefer. hey, Paul.
What is that, igneous? Sedimentary?
Guys, speaking of brand loyalties, I had to get rid of one of my favorite brands recently.
Magnum.
Yeah, my dick got smaller. Wait, were you talking about the condom or the ice cream bar? Because both apply.
Either way.
Yeah.
That's a big dick man's ice cream bar.
Man, Magnums are just such an embarrassing thing to, like, a whole section of condoms in the aisle. I just never even have to worry about. It's a... It's sad to me. It's a sad thing.
Hey, listen, Mitch, listen, this, we should all branch out. We should all try new things. Happy analogous to everybody. I'm going to try a squirt. Try yourself a Magnum. Just try the Magnum.
I'm going to try on a Magnum. It's going to look like when you buy your little nephew a sweater and it's like far too big. It's like coming off of his arms.
You'll grow into the Magnum. Any day, you're going to have your growth spurt, I can tell.
I have some brand resentment against Magnum ice cream bars.
Mm. Mm.
Our friend Ben Partridge from the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, he's a very big public advocate of Magnum ice cream bars. He loves them to death. He'll get any flavor, and he'll enjoy them on Instagram or whatever. And he was visiting the United States last year. And we went to a museum together or something. We were just having a hangout day. You know, great guy, Ben Partridge. And I said, oh, I got an idea. I know you love ice cream bars. I'm going to give you the gift of my favorite ice cream bar, my Magnum, the Itzit. Wow. He and I got some Itzits at a Food for Less and sat in my Volvo station wagon in the parking lot and ate the Itzits. And he made some catty remarks about the Itzit.
Wow.
He thought the chocolate was low quality. I'm like, that's hardly the point, Benjamin. So now I'm out on Magnums. I was ready for it to be a mutual support society where I enjoyed Magnums when I was in the United Kingdom and he enjoyed Itzits when he was in the United States. But it turns out that Welsh fuck is a little too fancy for his own britches.
Yes.
First of all, I just want to outright say, fuck the Welsh. I know that's maybe...
Yeah. I'm glad somebody's finally standing up to you, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
But I was going to say that recently I was like, Jesse, we got to have you on. We got to do an all it's it episode. No, nothing more than it's it. We're just doing all it's it's. But
it's it's. Go on, JJ, go.
I got a bunch of ice cream sandwiches recently, and I was like eating the other ones, and I was like, I don't really want the It's It's that much. And then I had an It's It, and I'm kind of tough on it. It's almost like In-N-Out Burger or something, but I had the It's It, and I was like, it's good. It is good. I think it's a specific thing, you know, like it's different from. I had some Blue Bunny ice cream sandwiches in there, and they were actually pretty good. And that is just a completely different experience from an It's It. You know what I mean? Like, you're going in with two different things.
Yeah. And I think he was confused at what was going on, why the cookie could be chewy when it was frozen.
Yeah.
Good humor, go on, call her daddy.
It's a kadoozy. go on, Michelle Obama.
I had, so the brand that I had to kick recently was related to a visit I had to a nutritionist. Have either of you guys ever seen a nutritionist?
A nutritionist?
No, but I have a feeling if I go to a nutritionist, it will be much like a mortal seeing Medusa and they will turn to stone.
Just show the nutritionist a mirror first. That's how you defeat her and steal the golden fleece.
You get your report at the end, and it just says, consider nutrition.
More minerals. Get this man some shale. Get him
Jordan,
some gypsum.
How did you end up going to see a nutritionist? A nutritionist, I feel like, is something that I imagine a business executive going to in 1977.
So I've been like, you know, I decided I was going to like put myself on a little diet, and I was kind of like taking these diet steps, like cutting things out, adding other different things, you know, cutting out the Magnums, adding the good humors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but it also occurred to me, like, I'm just doing this willy-nilly. I'm just doing this because of what I think will work, and also because of just some like haphazard Googling that I've done. So I like called my health plan and they're like, oh yeah, you have 3 nutritionist visits per year. So I did this visit. And
one of those Cadillac plans, it sounds like.
Oh yeah. It's a nice plan. It's a nice plan. Thank you, MPI, Motion Picture.
Is this a SAG one, Jordan, or is this writing?
This is IATSE. This is the Animation Guild, which is a
very nice,
very nice insurance, bad union overall, but pretty nice.
But
pretty
good nutrition.
But good. Yeah,
plenty of fiber. Lots of dark leafy greens.
Jordan, I heard that. Unfortunately, to go to the doctors, you have to travel all the way to Toontown. Is that correct?
It is, yeah, and you know they have a lot of recommendations for what happens if you're flattened like a pancake. What they'll do is they'll put a bike pump in your mouth and blow you back up. Sometimes it turns you into a balloon, which is its own inconvenience. There's the travel. There's the travel to Toontown. You have to go through the portable hole. It's inconvenient in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and also, what's your copay on getting dipped?
Yeah, you gotta stay away from that. But ooh boy, Dr. Betty Boop though, va va voom, she turned my head into a wolf head.
I don't want to mean to interject again, but can I just quickly say, Christopher Lloyd dipping that shoe in dip is like one of the most traumatic childhood experiences. Easy. Is seeing that little
easy
that poor shoe go down.
And when
it's a real large Marge situation,
yeah. Yeah, it, yeah. Truly. Our generation has a couple of shared traumas. Large Marge, Christopher Lloyd dipping the shoe, and the entirety of Return to Oz, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe the gremlin that goes in a blender.
Oh, that's good. That's a great. That is visceral. I just remember that fucking. I mean, now I love gremlins, but I think this is a thing that people don't admit, that like I was scared of gremlins for like a year or two. I was terrified of the movie Gremlins.
Yeah.
Is that just me?
It's scary. No, it's legitimately pretty scary. Like I watched it as an adult and I don't remember what of it I had seen as a kid. And I was surprised at how much of it is actually straight up scary. Like it's not terrifying when you're an adult, but it is like it's pretty straightforward scary stuff.
Yeah. Great movie.
By the way, the nutritionist in Toontown, can we get back to this for a second? Because I thought of something.
Please.
It's not really a fully fleshed out idea. But you go to the nutritionist because whenever you get hungry, everyone around you looks like a fully dressed chicken.
Right, yeah. It's especially bad if you're on a desert island.
Yeah. So what did the nutritionist have to say for themselves?
So I met with this nutritionist. I'm like, okay, well, I've gained a little weight. I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight. And, you know, 2 minutes into the conversation, I realized that I was talking to somebody who is just on another level. Like, have you ever, like, tried to do an exercise class and then you realize a couple minutes in, like, oh, shit, this is not for me. Like, this is not my thing. Everybody in here is too jacked. What am I doing here? Like,
honestly, Jordan, that was my experience when I did yoga at the YMCA with a bunch of 65-year-old
ladies. Oh, shit. All these people have replacement hips. They're going to do great. They're brand new fucking hips.
Jordan, I never run into this freaking problem. It's actually not an issue.
Hell yeah. So she was like, so what are you using to cook with? And I'm like, I've got this question. I'm going to fucking ace this. I'm like, I mainly cook with olive oil because that's the healthy oil, right? Fucking Mediterranean diet, you know? Yeah. So she's like, yeah. So, I mean, you really don't need to use any oil when you cook. And I was like, what? I just throw shit in a dry pan? And like, I filled out a meal chart, like with what I had been eating. And she like looked at the meal chart and she just was like, so you really like cheese, huh?
You're like,
that's,
yeah, well, I'm an adult man in a cheese-eating culture.
I'm like, yeah, it's good.
Of course I like cheese. Cheese is amazing.
It was in a tone that another doctor would tell you have 3 months to live.
Who doesn't want to be constantly eating cheese? It's the thing that everyone wants from mouse to man. Everyone wants a slice. Everyone likes cheese.
What is exactly in between mouse and man? Dog?
Dog. Dogs love cheese.
Dogs love cheese.
Cats? A cat will lick at cheese.
A cat will lick cheese. So that's what I told her. I told her a cat will lick cheese, and I hung up on her. It was a telehealth thing. But the one thing I got that I was like, okay, well, I don't think this is too extreme. I think I can use this. Is like, she's like, you know, take your main course, take your protein, cut it in half, and then fill the rest of the plate with beans. And I'm like, great. I love beans. I'm crazy about beans. Yeah.
Mm. Sure. And all those other fruits fail to be musical at all.
Not as musical. And you know me, Jesse. You've known me a while. Mitch, you've known me a while, too.
Yeah.
I love to toot.
Yeah, I call you Professor Harold Hill because you're a real music man.
Sure. You have to be careful it doesn't turn into a Hershey squirt. But
I am from Boston, which, as we all know, is Bean Town, where we love beans there. It's a Boston thing.
Sure. So you guys are on board. This, like, I was like, great. I was 100%. Excited about beans. And so then I stocked up on Goyas because that was my bean brand. I love a Goya.
Oh, no.
A couple days after my big Goya stock up, the president of Goya proved themselves to have political ideals that I did not agree with. Jesse, I know it's a little tough for you to get political on this show, but I will personally say that I did not agree with the political ideas of the Goya CEO.
Yeah, so you're a Bull Moose Party all the way.
Yeah, I'm a Tory till I die. So I don't want a controversial bean. I want a down the middle bean. I don't want my bean to have any political baggage. So I was like,
you're sticking with the gold standard. Thank you very much. No silver standard for you.
Right. Yes. They will crucify us on a cross of gold. They will. The National Bank. National Bank. That's something I have a problem with, too, I think. So I was like investigating other bean brands. And I'm like, well, I don't want the bean to be controversial. So Bush's. But then I remember something about Bush doing 9/11. Right? Do you guys remember? So people, you've heard that, right? Bushes did 9/11. That's the talking about the beans, right?
I'm trying to remember, but I think actually that I forgot.
Yeah. Well, that's why you need to listen to the Ralph Nader puppet, Jesse.
Have you seen? You haven't taken a look at like Duke the dog's Twitter profile lately, have you?
No. What's Duke been getting up to?
He was at the Tulsa rally with Trump.
Oh my, I hope he's okay.
Was he at least wearing a mask?
He was eating masks. He was biting masks off people's faces.
Oh my gosh, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck, there's no apolitical bean out there.
The other day somebody photoshopped a picture of a Major League Baseball game that had no one in attendance. They photoshopped like 300 dogs behind home plate and all the seats. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since I saw it. I want it so bad because dogs can't get coronavirus. So it's safe to fill the ballpark with dogs. Mm. So why are we making cardboard cutouts of Ali Wong, no offense, Ali, you're very wonderful, an E40 or whatever, when we could be just filling it with real, live, off-leash dogs?
Yeah, there's nothing in the rule book that says a dog can't sit in a major league audience.
I love it.
And then maybe you give the umpire some kibble for his pocket or some liver treats.
Mitch, you're a sports fan. Have you been enjoying, like, crowd-free sports?
Well, you know, you watch baseball, and then you hear that half a team has tested positive for coronavirus, and it kind of takes the wind out of your sails, and it makes it not worth it. But, and I actually haven't really watched baseball at all, but I've been watching basketball, and they seem to be one of the two sports that's doing it right. Basketball and the NHL, the NBA and the NHL, they both the NHL has gone up to Canada, and they are they're doing a little bubble. And then in NBA in Florida, they're doing a bubble as well in Orlando, I believe. And they've done it. They've done a great job with it. And I have watching basketball has been great the last week or so. It's really given me something. You know what I mean? It's been awesome. And I hope no one gets sick, and then it's not worth it. You know what I mean? One person sick, it's out the window.
Yeah, I mean, they should remember dogs can't get coronavirus.
Right.
And you're saying all Air Bud and all Air Bud season.
Yeah. I'm not against it. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you like to see a Cairn Terrier give that a shot?
Truly.
Isn't there a baseball-playing monkey movie, too? Could the monkey pitch against Air Bud?
Yeah, and I think Jason Alexander's allowed to play.
Yeah, I heard Jason Alexander can't get corona.
Right. They've been trying to capture him so they can use his blood to make a vaccine, but it's a Last of Us situation where there's a grizzled old guy leading him through the woods.
The only difference is, unlike in The Last of Us, the grizzled old guy insists on singing Sondheim songs the whole time.
Right. But a mournful version on an acoustic guitar.
He's like, this one is from Merrily We Roll Along. It's an underrated show.
I was going to say, that movie, that the Matt LeBlanc monkey movie where the monkey pitches, or Dunstan Checks In. I think the Matt LeBlanc one, actually, was my first date. I went to my first date for that movie.
You went to...
with the monkey from Ed?
Yeah. It was, I think I was in seventh or eighth. It was probably seventh grade. And with my girlfriend, who I like probably talked on the phone to 3 to 4 times, and then it stopped happening. And I remember I put my arm around her at that movie, and I think my armpit immediately turned, it liquefied basically immediately. Just like one of those, like, you know, like 12 or 13 year old, like, pit stains that just are like go over your shoulder, basically, just extremely embarrassing. But yeah, it was to that movie, or Dunstan Checks In. It's hard to remember.
I was a pretty late bloomer when it came to dating, but I definitely remember the first movie I went to where it was just me and a girl. I think it was one of those, is this a date situations. It was not a date. I found out later. But it was like me and we were just going to see a movie together, and it was Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Oh, that's good.
Which is horny. That is a like the joke of that movie is how horny it is.
That's very funny for like Leslie Nielsen to be a very, you know, be in serious films for most of his life, and then to make that turn into like a silly man that is in like horny movies and playing Dracula. And
yeah, he was like a matinee hunk in the 50s. Yeah. And then he's just like farting boner Dracula, and then he died. And Mr. Magoo.
What's amazing about it is, like, you know, in Police Squad and the Naked Gun movies, he's perfect. Like, he is perfect. Like, it's as funny a thing as has ever existed in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But only those guys knew what was funny about him.
Yeah, he was in so many other similar, less good movies.
Mm-hmm. Like, Mel Brooks is one of the funniest people of all time. Like, 10 funniest people of all time in the English language, Mel Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't figure out what was funny about
whoever directed
Leslie Nielsen.
Spy Hard couldn't.
Yeah, I agree that the Zuckers, right? The credit goes to the Zuckers, the Zucker boys. Yeah.
Love those Zucks.
I'll watch Police Squad anytime you guys want to come over and watch my VHS tapes of Police Squad.
Wow.
Love it. Love it. Tommy Lasorda's in it. It's got everything you want.
To go back on two things, one is that, Jordan, you are nearly at 100 movies for the year. You kick my ass with movies, even. You watch a ton of movies.
Yeah, I do like to watch a movie. Yes, I don't like TV that much anymore. I like a Simpsons rerun, and I like to put there's a streaming channel on Pluto that just streams Mystery Science Theater. That's fun to have on in the background.
That's a great channel. The Pluto TV has a few great weird channels.
Sure does. Yeah. Pluto is a fun weird thing. I don't know that I'm I'm getting anything from Pluto other than like pleasant white noise that I remember. But yes, Pluto is a fun, weird, free app.
Guys, I subscribed. I paid the extra $3 for the PBS Living add-on to my Amazon Prime.
Ooh, nice. Wow. That's all you can get all the Antiques Roadshows you want, right?
Every Antiques Roadshow plus as much of Julia Child as I can eat.
Wow.
Novas? You got some Novas on there?
There's a few Novas. There's not as many Novas as there's not as many other things besides those two things that I want to watch as I would like.
Frontline was going to be my next question. Can you watch a Frontline on there?
Yeah, no. Frontline is too upsetting for me generally.
Yeah, sure.
But if there were more Novas or American Experiences on there, I would love it. There are a fair number of American Masters. Right. There's a fair number of American Masters. I was watching the Ted Williams American Masters. But mostly, just the reason people like Julia Child is because she's possibly the most amazing television personality in the history of television. Mm. Watching Julia Child say different stuff, get distracted for a minute, and they don't edit it out. it is the greatest shit in the history of the world. Pay your $3.99 or $2.99 for that PBS Living and start watching The French Chef.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, now that I feel like I figured out that I like watching movies now more than I watch TV, more than I like watching TV. And, you know, I'm like, oh, sometimes I'll watch something in two or three sittings. Sometimes I'll like, you know, watch a little bit, go to bed, you know, watch a little bit the next day. And I definitely am like trying to, you know, trying to live like Mitch. Hashtag live like Mitch.
Oh, no, that's like the Simpsons episode where they be like the boy.
Just the seniors in the back. We like Kitch.
I was going to say to you that, and also you're a swimmer, you stay active, and so I think this nutritionist can jump into a vat of cheese for all I care.
Yeah. I think she would hate that. Wow. She hates cheese. Yeah. She would fuck. Oh, what an ironic death.
Oh, God. I guess I sensed her.
What kind of beans did she want you to eat?
She didn't specify the bean types. I just assumed that, you know, canned black and pinto beans were okay. Maybe they're not. Maybe I'm.
Yeah, that does seem like a good one.
Yeah.
It would be funny to call her back mockingly and be like, I chose jelly beans.
And I'm getting fatter to spite you. Ha ha.
Well, off to die soon.
I'm going to crawl under the porch and die like an old dog.
Jesse, I also wanted to say that you having on tape, having all the Police Squad episodes is doesn't surprise me even 1%. That is that's exactly you in a good way. I love that.
Mike, there's one where they're standing in front of the crime scene, and in the background, a stretcher enters, and moving from the right to the left of the screen, and it just starts crossing the screen, and it gets longer and longer and longer until it's crossing the entire screen, and it just keeps going and going and going and going and going for like 3 minutes until the back end finally crosses the screen.
I swear to God, you can know that that's about to happen, and still it does it for you for whatever reason. That's great. And like I've said before many times in the podcast, you did such good for comedy. Me and the other birthday boys, when we were young guys just getting into the scene, used to listen to you all the time, interviewing comedians and cool guests and stuff like that. So
we on Judge John Hodgman, on an upcoming episode of Judge John Hodgman, there's a birthday boys related obscure cultural reference at the top of the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very exciting.
So
very
exciting. So you said the birthday boys?
Mike, it involves you and a moo-moo. Mm.
Oh, I know what it is immediately. All right.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
You know, Jordan, the Max Fun Drive just concluded. 1,000 thanks to all of the folks who became and maintained their memberships to Maximum Fun. We couldn't do this without you. Every episode of Jordan Jesse Go is brought to you by Maximum Fund's members. This week's episode also is brought to you by Manscaped, dedicated to being the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels.
And I think that they want us to sing their theme song, right, Jesse? They said that's in the copy that they want us
to sing.
Yeah,
there's a note in the copy in the talking points here that says make sure to sing our theme song.
Well, let's do it.
Jordan?
Here I am, baby, Manscaped delivered. I'm yours.
I truly did not know what song you were singing until you said delivered. That's how far into it I got before I recognized.
It's a classic
melody.
I think it has to be far off for parody law to count, right? It has to be two notes yeah. Different.
That version of the song is for, I don't know if you heard this, but there's a script floating around for Sister Act 3, where instead of taking classic soul songs and turning them into gospel songs, she takes classic soul songs and turns them into songs about shaving your balls.
Hey, we're here, and speaking of shaving your balls, if you need to do that, if you're anybody out there with balls, you're going to want to check out Manscaped. Here's the thing, that area, it gets unkempt, but, yeah. I look at it and I'm like, this needs to change, but I'm so nervous about using the wrong equipment, about hurting the tender area.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, I'm not worried about that anymore because Manscaped sent over the Lawnmower 3.0. It's a trimmer
which is
that features
really what it's called.
It's legitimately called that. And it's a trimmer that features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Jesse, I used this.
Jordan, so did I.
It looks great down there. Are you looking great down there?
I'm so clean and fresh down there. It's waterproof. You can use it in the shower. I feel like that is a big one.
You can use it in the shower. This thing's great.
When I've trimmed there before, I've often thought to myself, do I just put down a drop cloth? Like, I've not been able to figure out the logistics of it. And I feel like every time I failed, and I've hurt myself a couple of times, this thing has a rechargeable battery. And not only that, it has its own little headlamp.
Yeah. And it does. Not only does it not hurt, it kind of feels good. It's very gentle. It's like being kissed by a doe.
And normally, I gotta put a bunch of peanut butter down there and head out into the woods. I gotta worry about ticks.
Yeah, and Lyme disease. Don't get me started. Yeah.
Oh man, nothing worse than Lyme disease of the balls.
And hey, here's the thing about the Lawnmower 3.0. It's got all that we talked about. Plus, the stand doubles as a USB charging dock. Trim that junk of yours.
Jordan, I am so glad that Manscaped has decided to sponsor us.
Me too. It's a great product.
I feel like there is no greater, and I don't mean to diminish any other celebrity you have, Jordan, but I don't feel like there's a greater ambassador for shaved balls in America than Jordan Morris.
It's true. It's something I believe in. I don't believe in much, Jesse. I don't believe in America. But I do believe in having clean balls. And honestly, the best way to do that is with Manscaped. It's the best. And you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code JJGO at manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping, manscaped.com, JJGO.
We also have something up on the Jumbotron. Now, normally...
Yes, I'm reading this one too.
Normally, these are like birthday or anniversary wishes. Like, as we record this, it's my wedding anniversary with my wife. So I decided to spend a romantic evening recording Jordan Jesse Go.
Is it tonight?
Yeah, it's tonight.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm glad I could be here to celebrate it with you.
I'm glad that you could too. And thank you for the single red rose.
Nah, you gotta listen, you gotta keep the spark alive. I know it's been a long time, but you gotta treat it like it's your first date sometimes. That's a secret.
But in among all of the, cottage industry Etsy shops and happy birthday messages we've shared, this is the one that I think could best be summarized as Dance Monkey Dance.
And you know what? This monkey is shining up his tap shoes.
It's a message for Jordan from Liam.
From Liam, and this is the message. Hi, hello, have you seen my daughter? I'm Liam Neeson. Yeah, that's right. There you go. Hope it was worth it.
You forgot to put in the word Brooklyn, whoever wrote this.
Yeah, I think the Brooklyn's kind of a late addition. I think the classic Liam Neeson line is just, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh, isn't in there.
MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron if you want to share your message with the world. It is we make it affordable for Jordan Jesse Go listeners. You want to wish somebody happy birthday or tell somebody about your Etsy store or whatever. We do what we can.
Or just want to do a callback to a running joke.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Mitch, the little stink bug. Oh, Jesus.
Don't step on him or else he'll make a stink.
Recently, I filmed something, I mean, before Corona, but I got into my trailer in there and it was infested with stink bugs. And I had never seen stink bugs ever before. And I remember, like, I went and told kind of like a salty crew guy, like a transpo guy. I was like, excuse me, there's a bunch of bugs in my trailer. like a loser actor that he didn't want to hear this from. And he was kind of like, yeah, so what? I was like, well, I don't know what to do.
I'm too frightened to do my vocal warm-ups.
The tip of the tongue, the teeth, and the bugs.
So do stink bugs like just go around stinking, or is it when they're threatened, or is it when they're squashed? Were you able to learn anything about them?
It is when they're squashed. I think it maybe is when they're threatened to, but if you squash them, they're stinking. That is what I found out, is that if you squash one, which I never did to any, but everyone on set was like, oh, don't squish them. That's like when I told them, I was like, my room is like infested with stink bugs. They're like, don't squish them. And that was kind of all they said. And I was like, yeah, but what should I do?
You would think they would have, you know, cleaner facilities on the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Captain America's own dressing room.
The man who was replacing Chris Evans.
It's kind of like a hybrid of Hulk and Captain America.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah.
That means they fucked. Awesome.
Yeah.
That drawing I made is real. Hell yeah.
It is funny to also think of like a stretched out Captain America outfit as I wear it on set and just look fucking dumpy in it.
Hey, Mitch, you would wear that thing like a Magnum, buddy.
Hey, Jordan, Mitch, happy anal August.
Happy anal August.
Happy analogous.
Analogous August.
happy anal August. Man, the Irish Catholic in me can't say that.
That's something we celebrate every single year.
Every month or just...
Yeah, we celebrate August this month every month. Rain or shine, we celebrate it. It's a time to reflect and to open yourself up to new possibilities.
Yeah, to becoming, try and relax.
It's about openness.
Lubricate.
Right.
The basics.
The just basics.
Straightforward stuff. Jordan, what should people do when something momentous happens to them?
They should give us a call at 206-984-4FUN or email in a voice memo like someone did who we're about to hear from right now.
Play of the call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. This is Ben H. in Los Angeles, California. I was watching
Ben Harper
walking my dog down the street.
Wow.
And a falcon was on the sidewalk in front of us with a dead rodent that it had killed. And it just stared at us for like 3 seconds. And then it grabbed the rodent and took off into the sky. It was great.
Yeah, that rules. First of all, that wasn't really Ben Harper. I apologize to Ben and all of the innocent criminals.
Aw, man, I fucking took that bong load for nothing? Shit, dude, I thought we were about to hear some fucking jams.
That was our friend Ben Harrison from Greatest Generation and so on and so forth, Friendly Fire, the whole nine yards.
I thought we were going to get an original Ben Harper song about like a falcon. It would have been great.
I feel like I spend a lot of my time, a lot of my emotional energy as a public radio host trying to avoid becoming interested in birding.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because I already drive a Volvo, right? So it's like I'm on the edge of becoming pure self-parody rather than somewhat of a self-parody. And I have to say, if I see like a falcon or a hawk or something doing something cool, I'm like, oh, fuck, I could get into birds.
Just do it. Just do it, man.
Dive count in. Them, I think. That's what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to take note of their calls.
That sounds even worse than counting them.
My grandma and grandpa were birders. I would walk with them in Quincy along the beach, and we go to these little islands and look at birds.
Cool. What kind of birds are native to the area? Do you remember?
That's a great question. I have no idea. There's probably like, I don't know, a Boston seagull or some bullshit.
Sure.
I remember as a child even being like, I'm kind of bored. I was like a little baby boy. but it's great to be out in nature. I think that's the great thing about birding is that you're just out in peaceful surroundings more than anything. So that's, for me, that's why I could maybe be one.
You know, you can see the Boston seagull in its natural habitat sobering up in a Dunkin' Donuts.
A cigarette butt in its mouth.
Right. Had a rough night. It lost its phone. Its friend won't come pick it up.
I feel like I would enjoy birding more if it was more focused on those birds of prey and there was some kind of chumming involved.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like if you would go to the pet store and buy those frozen dead white mice and you would just throw them into the air and then a fucking falcon would swoop down and grab it.
That sounds like what you are actually wanting to do is falconry.
But I don't have any of those big gloves.
Yeah, you do. You've got some in the garage. I know it.
All my gloves are medium-sized.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, if they don't go up to the elbow, you're in trouble.
I got news for you. I did falconry when I went to Ireland.
Whoa, what?
What?
I lived Jesse's dreams twice.
Oh, my gosh.
I was a birder, and I did falconry when my dad was sick. He passed away from cancer. And Jesse, we are in the Dead Dad's Club together. It's not a great place to be.
Dead Dad's Club. Hang it up, cancer. Give me a break.
A club no one wants to be a part of, but you get in there for whatever reasons. And we went to, when he was sick, we traveled to Ireland and we were stayed at this place and we like stayed at like kind of like an old castle basically. I believe it's where the Leprechaun 1 was filmed. And
did you catch a glimpse of Jen Aniston herself?
She was there. She was revisiting. My dad, that's when my dad wanted to see the filming location of Leprechaun 1 before he died. That was
he had already seen the filming location to Leprechaun in the Hood. He's like, I only have one more Leprechaun filming location to visit.
And his final days, he was sad that he never got to space. but one of the options was falconry, and I went out there and I stood there with the big glove on my hand, and the falcon came right to my arm. It was Jesse, I'm not going to lie to you. It was cool as hell.
Wow. I bet it was cool as hell. What did you, did you give it a dead mouse or a little chunk of something?
You could give it treats. I know that they were like, you know, they were there when they come back and they put like blinders on them and stuff. I know that they're like very protective. And I think also like each of my fingers looks like the most plump grub. And so, so I think that they were, I think they had, but I think that we maybe did feed it. I'm not positive, but I think maybe they were a little more touchy on that. It was cool though.
Sounds really, really great.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Man.
Sorry, Jesse.
I saw an owl once.
Yeah. Sorry, Jesse, but that's just lame as shit. Sorry, man. I hate to be the one to tell you this, but that is fucking lame, dude.
And also, I hate to do this, but are you sure it was an owl?
It might not have been.
No, it was definitely an owl. It was gray. It looked a little bit like a dove, but maybe a little bigger. Mm. It had some kind of iridescent parts of its feathers.
Man, it was going, dude, this sucks. This fucking sucks. This is so... Mitch's story was so good.
It was on a ledge of a big building.
What Leprechaun filming location was it near?
It wasn't near any of them.
Oh, man. Fucking weak, dude. Ugh.
Let's play another call.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. So my momentous occasion this week is actually something that happened to my mom, not me. But the way I found out about it was pretty momentous. So my mother sent a text to our family group chat that just said, I was in the ER for 10 hours yesterday. My sister and I were like, what? What happened? And then you see the like, mom is typing, ... And so we jump on a video call with her. We're like, no. Okay, tell us what happened. And she proceeds to tell us an extremely long story about how she started feeling sick and dizzy and she didn't know what was going on and she didn't know what could have happened. And my dad was at the golf course. So she called my cousin and my cousin got my dad, who doesn't have a cell phone, to come home and take her to the hospital. And then they waited for hours and she threw up. And then they did all kinds of tests to see if she was having a stroke or if she was having heart problems. They did a COVID test. So she was put in this isolation room for people who might have COVID. And she was made to wait for ages. And then as she was waiting, she said, she got to thinking, what could she have done? Was it something she ate? What happened? And eventually, she revealed that she had gone into her freezer in the basement and found a treat. And she thought, oh, that was smart of me, putting a gluten-free brownie in here for a rainy day. And she ate it, and it was delicious. And only after thinking about it, after going to the hospital, several hours later, did she think, that might have been an edible marijuana brownie that somebody gave to my dad and she wrapped up and put in the freezer and didn't label. And she then ate the whole thing and sort of OD'd. My sister and I had quite the ride listening to that story. And I hope you enjoyed it too. Bye.
Man, just hope...
too much for mom.
I just hope mom had a little Ben Harper on hand, right? Fucking ride that wave.
Thank God that story ended that way. Jesus.
I know, right? It's like, Brian, you need to screen these calls better. You know, I feel like I've heard stories like that before. Like, oh, I ate, you know, X amount of cookies. I ate X amount of gummies before I realized it. But every edible thing I have ever had has just tasted so insanely like pot. I honestly don't know how this happens.
I eat a lot of just regular treats that I get at Trader Joe's that will be a combination of dark chocolate or hard candy or whatever and grass clippings. So for that reason, it's hard for me to tell when I'm eating a marijuana
right.
one.
Yeah. You got to get a little roughage in there, you know?
Yeah. Love those.
I remember I went up to clippings. Went up to New Hampshire, to the Weir's Beach area, Lake Winnipesaukee. And my friends, this is like, you know, we were probably like 19 or something, but my friend Zenga, he made pop brownies. And just like eating them, it was just like you would bite into the pop brownie and it was like eating a nugget of weed. And I like lost my mind. My friend Mike Ramondi found me in a room and he said that I was saying like, help me, like crying. And I had just truly, truly lost it. So I have been there. I like thought I was having a mental breakdown. I don't like to touch those anymore. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, man. Ruined a good trip to Winnipesaukee.
Exactly.
That's a like there's some like comedy movie from our youth where they go to Lake Winnipesaukee, right? Is that
what they say in the Blues Brothers, isn't it? Blues Brothers Show Band and Review at Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh, that might be it. I was wondering if it's What About Bob as well or no.
Oh, maybe it is What About Bob. Maybe that's where
they go. Am I wrong?
I was thinking maybe also Sneakers. I know that's not technically a comedy, but it's a movie I weirdly watched a lot as a kid. And it seems like it would have something about Lake Winnipesaukee on it. I remember somebody wants a Winnebago.
It's a very like Americana-y lake. It's just like a big... That's where, you know, the King of Kong, he resides up there.
Oh, okay. So the guy who has the world King Americans. Kong record.
You can beware if you enter his lair, the King of Kong.
Right.
Let's take one more call.
Hello, Jordan, Jesse, and I'm going to guess Steve Agee. I'm calling with a momentous occasion / anal August. My partner has been growing zucchinis, and he had a zucchini that was shaped about right. And we realized later in the night that zucchinis do not have a flared base. Luckily, I was able to expel the zucchini.
Wow. Well, thank goodness. Boy,
someone posted on Reddit a news article about someone dying of that.
Oh my gosh, of zucchini in the butt?
Of zucchini in the butt. They were too embarrassed to go to the doctor from zucchini in the butt, and they died.
Wow.
Wow. No. And they didn't even call us.
I know. You're supposed to do it from the hospital or whatever, like while the momentous occasion is happening.
This relates back to earlier, by the way, the Magnum convo, but we got to get a better emoji than eggplant, right? Isn't eggplant just a little...
Is the zucchini more dong like? Do you think, Mitch?
I mean, I guess it's just too on. Like, just give it a carrot or something. You know what I mean? Some sort of carrot. Doesn't have to be a baby carrot. Just a regular carrot of sorts.
Just something orange.
What about this? This is wild.
I quickly have a punch up for the Magnum thing.
Yeah, sure.
I was gonna say that. Instead of a big sweater, it looks like those the Frosted Mini Wheat commercials. Okay, go ahead. Jordan,
I was just going to say, just make a penis emoji at this point, right?
Yeah, why
penis,
not?
Do a butt, do a vagina, do a couple of boobs. We need them. We need them to communicate. It's how we communicate. Sexuality is a part of human existence. Just make all the emojis we need so we don't have to come right out and say what we want to do to our partners.
It is very funny that that's like a known thing too. That it's like a peach is just a peach is a butt.
Yeah.
The peach is the butt now. Who would have thought?
Just make the emoji. I don't know who makes the emoji. There's like a World Emoji Council or something like that. They meet in secret at the base of Mount Doom every year.
Yeah, there was a 99% invisible about this, and it just ended with Roman saying, just make a dick one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I stand with him.
I stand with all the Roman leaders.
Right. Caligula, Nero, all the greats.
The doctors you call into to get Propecia.
I was going to say the last caller was so soothing, saying terrible news, like and I was like, "Oh, this is like a, this sounds like this person should be on like NPR or have an ASMR podcast or whatever." But then
maybe they do.
It's possible.
All could be true.
I'm ready to pitch NPR After Dark now, Mitch.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, la, la.
I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott. And we host
Round Springfield.
Round Springfield is a new Simpsons podcast that is Simpsons adjacent. Mm-hmm. In its topic, we talk to Simpsons writers, directors, voiceover actors, you name it, about non-Simpsons things that they've done. Because, surprise, they're all extremely talented.
Absolutely. For example, David X. Cohen worked on The Simpsons, but then created a little show called Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
That's our very first episode. Yeah. So tune in for stuff like that with Yardley Smith, with Tim Long, with different writers and voice actors. It's going to be so much fun. And we are every other week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. Hey, I'm Jared Hill, co-host of the brand new Maximum Fun podcast, Fan Time.
And I'm Travell Anderson. I'm the other more fabulous co-host. And the reason you really should be tuning in.
I feel the nausea rising.
To be Fan Tie is to be a big fan of something, but also have some challenging or anti feelings toward it.
Kind of like Kanye.
We're all fans of Kanye. He's a musical genius, but like, you know.
He thinks slavery is a choice.
Or like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, I love the drama, but do I want to see black women fighting each other on screen?
Ew. To the nah.
We're tackling all of those complex and complicated conversations about the people, places, and things that we love.
Even though they may not love us back.
Fanti, Maximum Fun, podcast.
Ow. La, la, la,
la, la, la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And the little stink bug. Oh, God.
Look out, or he'll infest your trailer.
Why didn't I just come up with a different one? I could have said anything I wanted to.
You can keep the same nickname. The little stink bug is great. I think it's awesome. I don't think you have anything to be self-conscious.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best ones in a long time.
Yeah, it is, honestly. We've had a lot of fucking weak-ass nicknames lately.
Come hard to the hoop, people.
Yeah.
Professional comedians. Mitch came up with a little stink bug. You can't do better than that.
Apparently not. The nickname is great.
Mitch, I have to say, you guys just concluded grocery store month on the Doughboys. And I was pretty jealous that you got to be Greengrocer Mitch. Along with playing Professor Harold Hill in The Music Man, I think I've made it pretty clear that my other career aspiration is to be a television greengrocer. And just say what fruits are ripe this month.
Well, that was Judge John Hodgman gave me that. He gave me that nickname. He was he bestowed upon me the greengrocer title, and I happily took it because I had no other plan. So that's how that came about. I was a nightmare month.
John Hodgman, your good friend and my former friend.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm serious about this greengrocer thing.
The Doughboys, of course, is your podcast, Mitch, where you and Nick Weiger review chain restaurants. You did a month of grocery stores, and I also listened to these episodes, thought they were really great, and it gave me an excuse to revisit grocery store fried chicken, which I hadn't had in years, but you guys talk so much about it, I'm like, I got to try some, and it was great. I forgot how good grocery store fried chicken is.
You did that Albertsons fried chicken?
I did an Albertsons and a Ralph's taste test. Yeah.
Wow. And what did you? What was your? Did you?
Anyway,
agree
I gotta call my nutritionist. Tell her about how things are going. But I also had a lot of beans too. I had a ton of beans when I was having these.
There's a grocery store right by my house that has a pollo a la brasa situation right outside.
Mm. Ooh.
A coal cooked chicken.
Damn.
And it is, man, that is a winner. You take that over that $5 rotisserie thing. I mean, nothing wrong with the $5 rotisserie thing. Pump a chicken full of juice and salt and cook it, and I'll eat it.
Damn.
But but cooked over an open flame right out there in front of the grocery store. I'll go to that grocery store sometimes just to buy one of those chickens.
Wow.
Chicken, yeah, it's a great meat. I think we can all agree.
One of the most versatile. Comes straight from, believe it or not, a chicken is actually a type of bird.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I say that as a birder myself.
Yes.
I'm sorry, actually, Jesse, there's some new science on this. They're actually nightshades.
Thank you.
Nightshades.
Did you know they're a fruit? It turns out.
Of cucumbers. Which is in my Mike, butt as we speak.
Oh, no.
Bring it back around.
I hope
full
you
circle.
Can expel it. Mike, as always, thank you for joining us on Jordan, Jesse, Go. Always a pleasure to have the great Mike Mitchell on the program.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you, guys. I love talking to you. It's been a while. This stupid pandemic, which I hope is over soon. I didn't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, hey, when this thing's over, Mike,
mm-hmm.
let's go out for beans.
I would love to. I'll get some of that. How do you say polo? What is it?
Pollo a la brasa?
A la brasa, yeah. Some polo a la brasa. I'm in.
Yeah. Sold. Sold to me and Mitch.
I love it.
Jordan, you can come too. Brian, ask, but probably.
Yeah, we'll see how full the car is.
Brian Sunny D. Fernandez is the producer on the program. You can get with us on the social medias there on Twitter at Jordan_Morris and at Jesse Thorne. Mitch is at B-Day Boys Mitch. You can find us on Facebook. You can just look for Jordan Jesse Go there. You can join the Max Fun Facebook group. We're also on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com, where we love to chop it up with the fans. We're not too fancy to chop it up with the fans. And the Max Fun Drive.
I've actually stopped chopping it up.
Oh,
with
okay.
Fans.
Well, that's all right. That's fair. Yeah, yeah. You got pretty.
I'm more into r/prequel memes okay. now. It's memes about the Star Wars prequels. It's basically them just putting Ewan McGregor saying hello there into everything. It's really funny.
I'm into r/unexpected utes. It's just people who see a car that got turned into a pickup truck and take a picture of it.
It's great. A lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, really fun.
And hey, a lot of people have been asking about this. Four donors for everybody who donated in the Max Fun Drive, you can now listen to our all Walton Goggins theme song episode with Dan and Stu from the Flophouse. That's up there in the donor feed. So Brian Sunny D. Fernandez edited that together for you, and it's up there in the donor feed. So we hope you enjoy.
Yeah. Oh, Gog. Okay. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.